thetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. New hurricane warnings and watches have been issued for eastern Canada as Hurricane Dorian crawls up the east coast. Tropical storm warnings have also been issued for parts of Maine, Massachusetts, and Delaware. The National Hurricane Center says hurricane conditions are expected in eastern Nova Scotia on Saturday. The storm is moving away from North Carolina's coast after making landfall this morning on the Outer Banks. Dorian centered now about 125 miles northeast of Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. It's moving to the northeast near 21 miles per hour. Earlier this week, the storm slammed the Bahamas, killing at least 30 people and obliterating countless homes. Former New York firefighter Captain Matt Bruce served as a first responder on 9/11. He offers an informed insight as to the recovery effort and the likely rising death toll which rescue teams in the Bahamas are now facing.
This is going to be something where they may never find people again, but the destruction and the devastation, you have to go through everything hoping you're going to find someone alive. But what's going through everybody's mind is you've got to be careful, you've got to be safe, and you also have to provide for the sanctity of life. If anyone's alive, you're going to do the best you can to get them out of there.
Captain Matt is a talk show host with Salem Radio's WGUL AM in Tampa. Also at SRNNews.com, U.S. employers added 130,000 jobs in August. Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick in an AP interview says it's a decent jobs report.
I think overall the tone of this tells us that hiring in the U.S. is slowing, not stopping. I think that helps to reverse the fears of a recession in the near term. Those have been percolating since last December.
The Labor Department says the unemployment rate remained at 3.7% for the third straight month. This is SRN News.
For your Friday afternoon, the heat is on. Sunny and hot. Expect the high 96. Tonight, clear. Low 73. Saturday, we'll start the weekend sunny and hot again with a high 96. Saturday night, clear skies. Low 74. Sunday, sunny and hot. High 97. And Monday, we'll start the work week sunny and hot again. High 95.
It's time to unpack all that God has given you and discover a stumble-proof faith. Join David Jeremiah in Orlando for the Everything You Need Tour, an evening of enriching study, practical teaching, powerful worship, and uplifting fellowship. Request your tickets today and join David Jeremiah in Orlando. Go to davidjeremiah.org/tour or call 1-800-947-1993.
Sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary. And I'm excited about our guests today. We have two guests. We'll have one the first half hour, then we'll have them both the second half hour. The second guest to join us has been on before. He's no stranger to SWAT Radio. We've had him on. In fact, we've had several requests to replay his interview. Both these guys are warriors. And by the way, if you're just tuning into SWAT Radio for the first time, either through the internet at SWATradio.com, through the app, or if you're tuning in Virginia, up in the coastal Virginia area. By the way, we're still praying. Hope you guys survived Dorian okay. But if you're listening on 100.1 FM up there or 1010 AM, or in Meridian on 1390 AM and 93.1 FM, or in Georgia, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And we're about practical and relevant truth, helping guys grow in their faith and being able to apply that faith, because you can have all the theology in the world, but if you don't apply it, it's pretty much useless for you. So that's what we're about. And I'm real excited to have a couple of warriors on today, guys that I've known for a while and watched them just continue to be warriors through difficult times. And they both are West Coast guys, and that's okay. that we need a lot of help out on the West Coast, and so we're happy to welcome Mike Charbonnet, former Navy SEAL. I guess you're always a Navy SEAL, aren't you, Mike? Welcome to SWAT Radio.
Thank you very much, Doug. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Is that true? Like, you never stop being a Marine, and I take it you never stop being a SEAL, right? You aren't active at the time, right?
I don't think the teams make that big a deal of it, because when you get old and overweight, you kind of give the teams a bad name.
So. when you have a hip replacement like me or knee replacement like you? You mean we just kind of fade off into the distance, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Well,
let me tell you a story. You know my brother Craig, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Craig is a workout fanatic. And when I lived in Texas, same era you did.
Yeah.
People would call me up and say, hey, we hear you used to be a SEAL. Would you come and speak to this group? And Craig and I would go, and we'd get out of the car, and somebody inevitably would walk up to Craig and go, hey, Mike, good to see you. You know, because he's all buff.
And you go, wait a minute, he's not the SEAL. I'm the SEAL here. That's funny. I could see that. You know, I mean, that's but you know, the deal is, you know, whether you're a SEAL or going through the Marines, I mean, when you go through the screening process and all that, there's really no rhyme or reason to what people look like. Because I remember seeing guys go through that I thought, these guys will never make it through, and they did. And,
right.
You know, the thing is, I tell people all the time, it's not that the Marines, and I'm speaking just from the Marines, the Marines are the strongest. It's not that they're the fastest. They just will never quit. They will keep coming back at you, so you have to kill us to keep us from coming back, right? I mean, that's what we do, and yeah. I know that you're tenacious in that way, too. How long did you serve as a SEAL, Mike?
I served 12 years active, and I think you know they discovered I had a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
This is when all my friends roll their eyes and go, that explains it. But they pulled all of my quals and basically put me in a training role. But then, you know, big Navy and even big Army, because it was in Hawaii where they discovered it. So Tripler Army Hospital was involved. They pulled my quals and they said, no, he has to go to the fleet. He can't even be in a instructor role. So they said I could go to the fleet or retire. So I'm medically retired after 12 and a half years.
Okay, but before that 12-year, before they found that tumor, you were active on the teams, right? You were an active team member.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and when was that? Was that in the late 70s, early 80s?
No, it was actually in the 90s. It was in 95 they discovered it.
Okay.
And 96 they cut it out and finally got rid of me.
Wow. So it wasn't long after that that we connected in the Woodlands, Texas, right? I mean, because that's like around 2000, 2001 time frame is when we connected. And the way we connected, were you actually were leading, I think, Russ, my oldest boy's, Russ's discipleship group, right?
Yeah, he was in our group for a while. And that was a joy. I loved working with the kids, and I loved teaching the Bible. So.
Well, you always have, as long as I've known you. Now, were you a believer during your whole time as a Navy SEAL? Did you grow up in a Christian family? Tell me a little bit about your journey, your personal journey of faith, as you walk through the SEALs and even this brain, finding this brain tumor and all that stuff. Where was your faith in all that?
Well, to answer your questions, not necessarily in order, I grew up in a religious family. I grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana, and everybody I knew was religious. I grew up going to church and went to a parochial school for 12 years. But it was it was just something that was part of my life. It made no impact on me. It was a subject in school, religion.
Mm-hmm.
And all that to say, you know, I mean, it didn't change my life. It did help, though. I mean, when people started sharing the gospel with me, it wasn't like hearing another language, because I'd heard the stories before. I'd heard about the disciples and Jesus walking on the water and stuff like that. So it kind of helped, but it didn't make any impact on me growing up. I got thrown out of college after almost 2 years, and I was basically using my one gift, which was goofing off, and I had no options that I knew of, and a Navy recruiter called me up and basically talked me into joining the Navy. So I wound up in the Navy. I had already signed up for a school. I'd never heard of Naval Special Warfare. And I wound up going to a school, going to a ship, and working on the weapons systems on a ship. And, you know, all of a sudden, I had essentially no supervision and a paycheck, and I went crazy and started doing stupid stuff and got in trouble. And I had sort of started a self-improvement kick. You know, I decided I was going to stop cussing. And then because drinking had gotten me in so much trouble, I decided I was going to stop drinking. And the whole time, this one kid on the ship kept sharing the gospel with me. And on my seventh request, took 2 years for me to get orders to go to BUDS, to SEAL training. On my seventh request, I finally got orders, and I was leaving our ship from the Philippines to fly to New Orleans for leave and then to report to San Diego for training. And this guy ran off the ship and gave me a Bible as I was leaving. And I tried reading it that night, and it didn't make any sense. And I just shoved it in my bag. And I got home, and my brother Craig, who you met in Texas, had become a Christian. And so I had all these stories of fights and getting in trouble all over the world. I thought people were going to hoist me on their shoulders and parade me around New Orleans. And my brother and all of his friends would just shake their head and pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
So for a couple weeks, all I did was go to prayer meetings and Bible studies and church services. And 2 days before I left New Orleans to report to BUDS, I received Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, my entire time in SEAL Team, I was a Christian. I didn't know come here from Sikkim about Christianity in the beginning, but I think it's the perfect timing, and I think that's why God waited until I was 22 years old. I was given just a brilliant opportunity when I was in BUDS. We'd run down the beach, and you have to sing songs while the class is running down the beach, and most of the songs were pretty filthy.
Well, hey, Mike, real quick, let me interrupt you just a second.
Yeah.
We may have listeners that don't know what BUDS is. Explain what BUDS is real quick for somebody that doesn't have any background of knowing what that is.
Okay. BUDS stands for Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL Training. And that's the basic training course. It's about 6 months, and then you have advanced training after that. But BUDS is where guys from the Navy go to get into SEAL Team. And it's a great school. It is a school. You forget that it's a school when you're in it. But
because basically, how many guys make it through? Do you have any idea what the retention rate is or what the screen out rate is for that at all?
Historically, it's between 80 and 85% rollout. A big portion of those quit because you just basically say, I quit, and you're gone. And then there are people who fail, performance failures or safety failures, and they get dropped. So 15 to 20% of the trainees make it through.
Golly, that's incredible. Only 15-20%, and you and both your sons made it through. That's awesome. Well, so going back, so you were saying you got out there and you're a believer and God's timing kind of took you in that place as a believer at that time. Now, did you have somebody mentoring you there? Was it your brother Craig, or was it somebody else that kind of helped you, or did God just kind of lead you in your own journey of the Bible?
Well, I found a church, not right away, but I found a church while I was there. But I started reading my Bible and started making a little bit of headway. I remember somebody told me, read the New Testament. You're reading the Old Testament. It's harder. So I started reading the New Testament. I got through Matthew, and I started reading Mark, and I was like, wait a minute. This guy's writing the same stuff. And then I got to Luke, and it was like, just a minute. How many, so I didn't really know much. But what I was saying is I made up my own words to the songs, and as more and more people quit, my invisibility, my cloak of invisibility was disappearing. And finally, on a run, an instructor yanked me out of the pack. And said, what are you saying? And I said, I'm just singing the song. So we got back, and he put me up on the PT podium and said, sing this song. So I sang it my way. And from then on, I thought I was being persecuted for my faith.
Yeah.
But they were just basically trying to get rid of me. But it was perfect. I mean, it's like, okay, all I need to do is sing these raunchy lyrics and I could get out of a ton of punishment, physical and time and every other kind of thing, all the things you don't want to do. And it was God's way of giving me an opportunity to prove that this wasn't a phase I was going through. It was real. I wasn't the same person. And too many Christians aren't given that opportunity. It was perfect. It was just perfect.
It was good training and, for you, right?
It was. It says in 1 Peter that the trial of our faith is what God uses to prove its genuineness. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to wait, until, somebody I knew got cancer or something. I mean, it's like every day, all I had to do was say, hey, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. Let me sing that song the way you want me to. Let me tell this joke the way you want me to. And I all of a sudden, all the pain would go away. But it was real. God used that to show me that this was real. Mm-hmm. And that was a gift. That was awesome.
Well, it's great how God unfolds his plan in such a perfect way. For where we are. I mean, look, you can't see it a lot of times at the time, but when you look back, you're able to see that. But Mike, as long as I've known you, and I've known you since about 2001, now it's not like we talk every month, but we live close to each other. Like you said, with your brother out there, I knew your families. I watched your families. And I watched you mentor my son and lead them. And you and I had, I don't know if it was many or just several, but we would talk about God's work. We would talk about our faith. And one of the things that always struck me about you was your love for the Word of God. And, that's something that is very important to me. In fact, one of the core values of SWAT, in fact, it's the first core value, is God's Word is our authority and starting point. And when I think of you, I think of a guy who was a man's man, who was very passionately devoted to God's Word. And I think about 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, where Paul is telling the Corinthians, he's given them instruction. He says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, and act like men. Be strong, and let all you do be done in love. And it seems to be hard for guys in particularly to be a man in our culture today and be loving. It's almost like you can't have those two things together. And I love the fact that you've started this ministry out there, this called Beachhead Ministry. And You know, you sent me a little blurb about it where you say your purpose is to the worship of God, the biblical training of Christians, the salvation of the lost, and the advancement of Christ's kingdom throughout the earth. And, you know, I just think that's awesome that you're doing that. And if you want to know more about that, you can probably email Mike, or you can, he's got a Twitter. Mike, I didn't know you were a tweeter. But he's got a Twitter account at mw.charbo, that's C-H-A-R-B-O. And so if you go to Twitter at mw.charbo, he's probably like me. I have a Twitter account. I don't know how to use it very well, but I love what he says on there. He says, disciple, husband, and dad. And Mike, you've just been one of those guys that I've always considered that I would be in a foxhole with you anytime, because I know you'd have my back. I know you love the Lord, and I love the way you've lived for the King and your heart for that. Now, I know over the past years, you've had some difficult roads to go that almost like the SEAL training prepared you for what you're having to go through in life with your son, David, who's going to be our guest. We're going to get him on in just a few minutes. But I talked to David, and he shared his story from his perspective. As you walk through that with your wife, Beth, and you guys had your son, who here he is, he goes through SEAL training. He had challenges there. He made it through, and here he is. He gets injured in an accident that basically paralyzes him. And to watch that dream of being a SEAL for your son, sometimes it's harder than losing your own dream when you see your kid's dream. Could you speak to that just a little bit, to any of our listeners who may be out there who struggle with pain that their kids go through, or even as a parent or other people in their family, and the things that help get you through that?
Well, what a question. Here's some of the thoughts that we needed to remind ourselves of many times every day. Because what hurt so bad was seeing somebody that we loved so deeply hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody confused over the seeming senselessness of suffering. Wasn't deserved. He hadn't done something wrong. And it really shook David, and David being shaken shook Beth and me. And the reason was our love for him. So the first thing that we constantly reminded each other was that God loved David more than we did.
Mm-hmm.
That if we had the power and the authority to write a script for David, we would have made it the absolute best. He would have had everything going his way. But we don't have that power. God does. And God loves David and wants the best for him and knows what's best for him. You know, God knew who David's wife was going to be, who David's children were going to be, and what they were going to be like, and what they needed for dad.
Mm-hmm.
God knew what patients were going to show up at the clinic that he and Janet manage, and what they would need in a man. And God was building that into our son. And a thing that really, you know, I had to draw on many times was, I don't even think David's ever heard this, but, you know, obviously when David was first born, Beth was exhausted. And so one night, I got up with him, and I was holding him in our little apartment, walking around, and I thought, hey, I can do this. So, you know, I can calm him down. And what seemed like about a month, I'm sure it was 10 minutes, you know, I'm like, come on.
Yeah, good luck on that, huh? And,
yeah, but he was wailing, and I'm walking around the far end of our apartment from the bedroom thinking, God, what is the deal? He has never done anything wrong. And the first thing that popped into my mind was, neither did my son. And it reinforced that two things. First of all, you know, God loves us in ways and to an extent that none of us can fully grasp. And that he wasn't absent. It wasn't like God had taken a break and my son was suffering. He's in it. He was in the moment. And so to see David hurt that way, it helped me to remember that God was in this. This isn't Satan, and even if it is, you know, Satan can't overrule God. This is God, and God is at work. It's hard because on some levels that just doesn't make sense, but it's true.
Wow. Well,
so those were things that we had to continue to remind ourselves.
No, those are great points. I just want to bring those out again. So if someone close to you is hurting because of a circumstance, even bad choices, doesn't matter. You remember that God loves this person more than we do, that his plan is best, that his love is demonstrated most through the fact that he allowed his son to die on a cross for us, and that he's in our moments of pain, and he's all-powerful and able at any moment to change anything. But as he's unfolding his plan, like Mike shared, he knows what he wants to do down the road. We don't. And Mike, you know, I know that David's going to join us after the break. We're going to have a break here in a few minutes, and we're going to we have to have a news break on the half hour. But you, I don't know if it was last year or a couple of years ago, started writing. Well, before I get into that, you do Bible studies for recruits out at the Marine Corps Recruiting Depot in San Diego. Do you still do that?
Every Sunday, I'm there.
Every Sunday, you're teaching recruits, teaching other Marines, and you teach other multiple Bible studies out there. If you're listening to this via podcast or live through the live stream or the radio app, and you live in the San Diego area, you can contact me. You can send me an email at doug@swatradio.com, and we will get you in touch with Mike to find out about. Are these Bible studies open Bible studies, Mike, that you're doing during the week?
Yeah. Well, not at MCRD, they're not.
No, yeah, obviously there. But, I mean, you do some other ones in San Diego, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you email doug@swatradio.com, and listen, you may be listening to this a month after the program. If you hear this program and you want to be a part of that, you can send me an email, doug@swatradio.com, and I'll get you in touch with Mike, and you can connect with him. So, Mike, we got about 2 minutes before the break. You got involved when David had his accident, and then he started this VIP Neuro Rehabilitation Center to help vets and other people who struggle from stroke, brain injury, ALS, all different kinds of things. A couple of years ago or last year, you started riding a bike to raise funds for that. Tell me about that. Give me a 1 minute elevator speech for that.
Last August of 18, I rode from San Francisco to San Diego to raise money for the clinic. And in November of last year, my bud's training class had a reunion because it had been 40 years. And a bunch of those guys teamed up with me, and this year we're riding 1,000 miles down the East Coast to raise money for the clinic.
Okay, and at the website called VIPNeuroRehab.org, you can go. There's a place to click on VIP 5th Annual Fundraiser Beyond the Team Send-Off Party. If you want to click on that. And we're going to talk to you more about that after the break. But Mike and his buddies from the SEAL teams are going to be doing this ride to raise funds. And we would love for you to help them help David and the VIP Neuro Rehab Center help people with what they do. It's a great organization. And when we come back, we're going to have David join us. Mike, we'll see you after the break, and David will be joining us, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, you're listening to SWAT Radio. We'll be right back after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at iLife.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. New hurricane warnings and watches have been issued for eastern Canada as Hurricane Dorian crawls up the east coast. The National Hurricane Center says hurricane conditions are expected in eastern Nova Scotia on Saturday. As the search continues in the Bahamas, the death count from Dorian remains at 30, but is expected to be raised significantly. U.S. health officials have again urged people to stop vaping until they figure out why some are coming down with serious breathing illnesses. Officials say they've identified 450 possible cases, including at least three deaths in 33 states. The count includes a newly reported death in Indiana. Stocks are higher, putting the market on track to notch a second straight weekly gain after a wobbly start of the week. The Dow is ahead 101 points, and the NASDAQ is up 9. This is SRN News.
Expect delays because of an accident on I-95 heading north before the Fuller Warren Bridge. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on the East Beltway 295 southbound at the Dames Point Bridge, and another crash on Butler Boulevard at the westbound ramp to Kernan Boulevard. For your Friday night, clear skies, low 73. Saturday starting the weekend, sunny and hot, high 96.
Think for a moment with me about the silence that followed those Hebrew words, I am Joseph. And the mouths of the brothers drop open and they stand looking at him, thinking in their minds, could it be?
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, God Meant It for Good, next time on Turning Point.
Hey, welcome to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary, and Brad, my sidekick, is not here today. Brad is off, and I am joined by my brother and my friend Mike Charbonnet, and now we're joined by Mike's son, David, who's been on SWAT Radio before. David, welcome back to SWAT Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So glad to have you back, and I know you joined us a little bit. I don't know if you got to hear all of what your dad said, but it's kind of cool when you're on with your dad. You get to see this. And you guys are a special family. You're a family of three SEALs. The fact that you guys, went through that training and only 15% make it through, it just makes you – I know you both would acknowledge this, that God – get you through that stuff. I mean, if he wants you to get through, you get through, and if he doesn't, you don't. But we also put forth the effort. We work to glorify him and what we do. And David, just to kind of go back over what your dad said earlier, that going through it, God loves us more than he loves us more than we love each other. And I know for you, you had shared on the last time we had you on that the struggle that you kind of went through as you had your injury. And just real quick, briefly tell our listeners, for somebody who may have tuned in for the first time, who haven't, they didn't hear that program, tell what happened. You were a SEAL. You were out jumping. You were going to do some jumping with some other friends. And what happened? Just tell people real quick what happened.
I was out jumping with some buddies because we weren't going to see each other for a while. I was deploying in a couple days after that. The second jump went fine and had a good opening. And as I was coming in to land, I felt that I was going to come in pretty close to an airplane that was motors running and props going. So I tried to quickly make the decision of what to do and decided I wanted to continue past the airplane and to make my final turn. It was a mistake, and I got too low to make my final turn by waiting that long, and canopy stalled at about 80 or 100 feet, and pretty much was on the ground a second later. Fell that fast, and didn't have time to be scared or anything, just surprised and hit the ground, tuck and rolled, just instinctively, I guess, and tumbled through the dirt. And I instantly knew that I was shocked. I was, like, alive, and then I knew I must have broke the leg or something because the impact was so powerful. And as soon as I saw my legs, I could tell that they were lifeless, and I knew exactly what had happened. But I didn't have another bruise on my body other than my one vertebrae exploding. So I'm very thankful for that, and thankful that my head was okay. And, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for in the accident.
Well, listen, you can go back if you're listening. If you go to the SWATradio.com website and you just put in David Charbonnet, Charbonnet, you put that in, you can go back and listen to David's story, him sharing about that. And he talks about how he went through a process of God really growing his faith through that process. It wasn't easy, was it, David?
No, it wasn't easy. Made everything else that I've gone through in my life pretty much seem easy. The mental and spiritual battle was far and away harder than the physical portion of it. And it took a while to get, my head around it.
Well, as I want to ask you, Mike, and I want you to weigh in on this too after David does. But David, can you weigh in a little bit about the importance of having battle buddies or people that are with you in the journey? Because a lot of guys that listen think that they can do life alone. They think that the whole thing, and you never know when something like happened to you might happen. I mean, when you go through a tragedy like that, something that's just so unexpected and so life-altering, could you speak a little bit to the value of having battle buddies around you?
Absolutely. In my life, I've been very fortunate as a young kid, and even today as an adult, I'm very close with my parents. They're my best friends, outside of my wife, who's my main battle buddy and was dating me, when that happened. And, all the three of them witnessed, my lowest of lows, and had to, watch that and suffer through that because, I heard my dad talking about, and you saying watching your loved ones go through something awful is worse than going through it yourself. And, I can't imagine how hard that must have been to have nothing in their control as well. And, but what was important about them was, they always had an outside perspective. And when you're going through something hard, you really get sucked into, me, and, all your situation, and you get really internal, and your mind can get lost, and and be frustrated with God's plan and, you know, really just lose perspective of the bigger picture that, you know, that God loves you and that he knows what he's doing, you know. Mm. And one thing I always tell people about my wife in particular is she doesn't have any sympathy for me. And I say that in a good way. You know, she, one example I always use is I'll be like laying on the couch out of my wheelchair and I'll be like, hey, you know, can you grab something out of the kitchen? And so I go, you got legs? And I'm like, well, they don't work. And she's like, you still got them.
So, that's funny.
But it's perspective like that. You know, it makes me feel normal. Like if nothing was wrong, that would be, you know, a normal response to tell somebody. So, you know, she treats me like her husband, not like a cripple guy. So,
no, you know, and you know what's funny about that, David, and Mike gets this, and anybody who's been in the military or even law enforcement, I think, gets this. Sometimes people don't get our sense of humor, but you have to have that. You know, like, I mean, seriously, we make jokes about like death or pain or things like that in ways that people can't grasp. I think it just they look at us like, did you really just say that? You know, like even your wife.
Yeah.
But she understands. She knows you. And, you know, I was thinking about the verse in Ecclesiastes, Mike, that says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, then one will lift up his fellow brother. But woe to him who's alone when he falls and he doesn't have another to lift him up. And, Mike, you speak about it, too. I mean, like, there's a tendency for us to want to withdraw when we go through tough times. Because we don't want to talk to people, because we don't know what to say. We just, but there's value, isn't there value, even if you don't talk, just to having people go through it with you?
Absolutely. And the very beginning of your program, you talked about the widespread confusion about masculinity. I think this is one of the things that is you know, key to that, is that people have this misunderstanding that being a man means that, you know, you're this like monolithic guy all by yourself and nothing affects you. And no, that's not true. You know, men are built for teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the Marines, they call them battle buddies. We call them swim buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And the bond that David has with Janet and that Beth and I have with David is one of the main things God used in helping us deal with the emotional and spiritual stress of David's accident.
Mm. Well...
And, you talked about his sense of humor.
Yeah.
David and Janet were heading out on a date when we were David's roommates. And Beth was feeding David a paleo diet because somebody convinced us that that was going to help.
Yeah.
And so David's pushing himself out of the door, you know, in his wheelchair. And he goes, hey, look at me. I'm the perfect paleo meal. Half steak, half vegetable.
Oh my gosh.
So, you remember that, David?
I'm going to be honest. David? I can't really hear you as well as I can hear Doug.
He said you're the he said you said you're the perfect meal, half steak, half vegetable. One time when they were going out.
Oh yeah.
You remember that?
A balanced nutrition.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
So that's funny. But see, people won't get that, man. You know, I mean, we get that. But well, listen, I want to a couple of things. One, David, real quick, you and your wife, Janet, took over management of VIP Neuro Rehabilitation Center a few years after your accident. And you took it over at a time where it was going through some financial strains, but now you've kept it going. Can you kind of share what VIP the Neuro Rehabilitation Center does. I know they help veterans and they help handicapped children and other people. Can you kind of give your mission for what that rehabilitation center does in a heartbeat?
So we provide affordable neuro rehab for physical therapy to people suffering from neurological conditions like stroke and spinal cord injury and traumatic brain injury, that be veterans or pediatrics, civilians, elderly, all sorts. One example that I said one time that reminds me that it's a good way to explain it is, you know, able-bodied people need exercise every day to be healthy and to live a life that is of good quality. And, well, people with neurological conditions also need that, but they need to do it in a very specific way. And neuro rehab is different than conventional physical therapy. It's a little more complicated. There's a lot of variables. Same conditions can present in totally different ways, and our staff has to be able to think outside the box and problem solve. But one of the cool things, and the thing that I really tell people that, you know, being from a patient perspective of what VIP does is we, and the staff really, is the closest people to these patients during a lot of them the most difficult time in their life. And able to, you know, be there for them in more than just a rehab setting, in an actual friendship setting. And also the clients, they're the best in the world too, because they chose to come and, like, you know, put themselves through the paces to try to get as well as they can. So they also feed off each other's positivity and motivation and determination. So it's just a really good environment to be in, not just the team, which is top-notch, but also the patients, which are top-notch, if that makes sense. We try to do that as affordable as we can. We have some of the most specialized equipment in the world, and it's very specific equipment, and as everybody knows, medical equipment is extremely expensive, some of which are more expensive than houses, and it costs a lot to operate the business. But insurance doesn't cover it, so we try to counteract that expense through fundraising throughout the year. And my dad last year decided to do a bike ride on, against my better judgment.
and probably Beth's too.
he raised a ton of money, even though I was terrified he was going to ride off a cliff or get hit by a car the whole time. but he, you know, I knew that he can do anything he puts his mind to. That's what scares me sometimes. But, yeah, it's pretty, we're very thankful, and the patients are so thankful for that. And now we're all excited and thankful for not only him, but his teammates that have wanted to come up along his side and do it with him and start their own program to not only help us, but in the future help all sorts of organizations and people that need help.
So I just want to remind our listeners, if you're listening in coastal Virginia, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, in Nebraska, California, out in Washington State, it doesn't matter, wherever you're listening to, because of the power of the internet, you can go to www.vipneuro.org, and you can click on the donate to VIP link. And what that does is it brings up the page where you can actually donate directly to them, or you can go to Beyond the Teams in the lower left-hand corner and click on that link, and it takes you to information about their bike ride. You can donate to the bike ride. You can get more information on the 2019 ride, where they're going to start. And they're going to start actually up in the coastal Virginia area. So you listeners up in coastal Virginia, you know, you can actually go out there where they're going to start. And it's going to be five riders, and they're going to ride all the way down to Fort Pierce, Florida, and hopefully they're going to come through Jacksonville, and I'm going to get to see Mike, I hope. So anyway, I really encourage you to donate. I want you to think about Matthew 25 for a second, and I want you to think about what Jesus said. He says, when you do this to the least of these, you do it to me. And when your brother's in need, when your brother's naked, when your brother needs food, when your brother needs help, and we have people that are being helped who don't have the funds to use some of these things that they have at the VIP Neuro Rehabilitation Center. And I can tell you from knowing both of these men that are associated with this, they are God's men for this place and this time. And they're in a very tough area of the world to walk this walk out. I'm telling you, I've been out in California a lot, Mike and David. And I know that is not a cultural hotbed for Christian brothers and sisters out there. You know,
right?
Yeah, there is some out here, but definitely along the other lines too.
Yeah. So and listen, if you are listening and for some reason you can't get to that site, if you send something to SWATradio.com and just put VIP Neuro in the memo or the comment section, 100% will go directly to them. 100%. There's no admin. We just pass through 100% to VIP Neuro Rehab Center out there. And I'm just so grateful, David, because I remember you sharing in your story about, you know, when you look back now you have two children, right?
Yes.
And there was a time where you didn't even want Janet to marry you because of your injury, correct? I mean, you were so distraught by it. You thought, no, you should go find somebody else. Is that right? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, it's definitely true.
And yet now God has brought two beautiful children into the world, and I know Mike's happy as a granddad, and Beth too, by the way, who posts lots of pictures on Facebook, but she's happy. And looking back now, you see how God's used what happened to you to actually give you this mission and empathy for people that even your dad and I can't muster up, because we don't know what it's like to be there. You know, do you see God's hand in all that?
Definitely. I mean, I definitely feel called to help people on a one-on-one level. I love getting to see people at the clinic and them being able to come to me knowing that I know what they're going through. And I don't know if I'll ever fully understand why God, you know, created the path that he did for me. But, you know, it's times like those that you do understand. You're like, okay, I can kind of see what you're doing, God. Like, you're using me in a way that I didn't think that I was going to be used 10 years ago. And sometimes you can really see powerful things happen. And I think that's, you know, what we all really want in life is to do something really powerful and for like a greater good. That, you know, that's why my dad and I joined the SEAL teams. And, you know, it just turned out that the SEAL teams wasn't, you know, what he was going to use me for. And I think I even said, you know, in our last show that I was on, that, you know, when I graduated and got pinned, it was a big day and it was special. But I remember feeling after I got pinned and graduation was over, I almost felt like I was going to do something really powerful in this world and used really powerfully. And I remember thinking, this does not feel like it. Like, this doesn't feel that significant, even though, you know, it's still a special day. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. And, you know, the thing is, I really believe, whether it's the Marine Corps for me or SEAL training for you guys, that those training courses that we went through were preparing us for how God wanted to deploy us in his glory, for his purposes, whatever they are. And to be honest with you, I never saw myself with six daughters, man. I mean, like, you know, God called us to adopt, you know, these daughters from China. And I needed every bit of Marine training to prepare me for that. I'm just going to tell you, man, because it's tough work. I got three 15-year-olds, yeah. Buddy. And you think it's tough over in Iraq, man. I mean, I'm telling you, I could send one of them over there. They could destroy half the Taliban, man. So,
well, I'll be looking for your advice when for sure.
Yeah, anyway, well, listen, beyond the teams is the bike ride and the organization. What they're doing is it's a group of former Navy SEALs who kind of came together, and what they're doing is they're doing this fundraising event for this VIP neuro rehabilitation center that David's running. And what they want to do is help people who have these disabilities or accidental injuries that prevent them from being able to walk or to function. They want to help them in a lot of different ways with exercises and other things. And sometimes the insurance runs out. They don't have the ability to do it. And you can go to the VIP Rehabilitation Center website. It's VIP Neuro Rehab, VIP N-E-U-R-O R-E-H-A-B.org. And if you go to the homepage, click on the donate link. You can donate directly to them, or you can scroll down and you'll see this Beyond the Team, and it has the symbol, one of the SEAL symbols there. So you click on that, a little blue Beyond the Team's link, and it takes you right to information about their bike ride 2019. And your kickoff date for that is when, Mike?
We'll be leaving Virginia Beach on the 28th of October.
All right. So you people in coastal Virginia on the 28th of October, is that right? Is that what you said?
Yes.
28th of October. Do you know where in Virginia Beach that's going to happen?
We're actually going to be leaving the SEAL team base at Little Creek and riding to a SEAL monument on the boardwalk at I think it's 32nd Street in the boardwalk. We're gonna have a little press event there.
Okay,
we're planning at 8 o'clock in the morning.
8 a.m Okay, so 8 a.m at 32nd Street in the boardwalk for you people up in coastal Virginia on October 28th is going to be the date they ride. And they're going to start there, and they're going to go all the way down the eastern seaboard to Fort Pierce. And, Mike, I really am lobbying for you to stop in Jacksonville and at least let me hug your neck, okay?
We will. We will. There'll be some chocolate involved, I'm sure.
Well, I hope so. You can. Well, listen, we got about 2 minutes. David, is there anything else you want to say about the bike ride or your needs there, how people can pray for you and the Neuro Rehab Center?
Definitely. I mean, the number one thing we all need is prayer. And, prayer, you know, just the everyday dealings as Christians in this world, and for my dad and his rider's safety big time, and for our clients and their things they're going through, depression, and not only their physical ailments. And again, I just want to say, you know, thank you for having us on, and also to say, you know, none of these riders are have salaries with Beyond the Teams. They're all doing it voluntarily. They're a true nonprofit. They don't make any money. It all goes to people that they're helping. And same with VIP. The only people that are getting paid are the rehab team that are putting hands on the patients. Our board members and all of them are just going out on a voluntary basis to try to get as much help as we can for these people. And
All right. Well, hey, Mike, David, thank you both for your service to our country, for your service to our King. And if you are listening and you want to go back, or you know somebody that might be encouraged by this, they can listen to this being rebroadcast. They can go to SWATradio.com. It'll be up probably by 10 o'clock tonight. www.SWATradio.com. That's Mike Charbonnet, Beachhead Ministry, David Charbonnet, Neuro Rehab Center out in San Diego. Two great warriors. Thank you guys for joining us. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll be praying for you guys, Mike. All right.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Doug.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you all. We'll see you guys next week on SWAT Radio. We look forward. Have a great weekend.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online.